Yes, and you're listening to the Flannelly Show live from New York City as we broadcast worldwide on irishradio.com. Many might identify Rutherford, New Jersey as a place with extreme Irish association. And one might be very surprised indeed to learn that with all of the St. Patrick's Day parades going on across North America, particularly the United States, that up until a few months ago, Rutherford, New Jersey did not have a St. Patrick's Day parade. That has been corrected by a very enthusiastic group and membership, got together last July. And so I get, let's go down on you, Sheridan. Let's go down to Rutherford, New Jersey, as we welcome Eric Moore, who is president of the Rutherford Irish American Association in New Jersey. And also, we're going to have, I believe, Joe Kelly, who is the chairperson of the membership committee and has very good bragging rights in terms of getting a membership beyond, you know, comprehension. Let me first start with you, Eric Moore. You're welcome to the program.
Good morning, Adrian, and thank you for having us on the show. We're very excited to be speaking to you and all your listeners. Yeah, you're right. We're in the midst of some very exciting times for the Rutherford Irish American Association, and we're delighted to share this news with you today.
I just want to bring something to light that, at least on our side of the river here in New York, there has been a fair amount of negativity, you know, with respect to parades in New Jersey. Of course, the exception is always, what you hear of, but highly controversial might be Hoboken, New Jersey, straight across the river from over the Hudson River there, where rowdiness and, you know, misbehavior became a staple, and the kind of exposure that St. Patrick's Day parades don't need. Without getting into whether it's true or whether banning a St. Patrick's Day parade in anticipation of trouble, I want to just talk about Rutherford. Rutherford is and has been a great Irish-American community. So one might say, well, my God, how could you have such a strong Irish-American community and not have had your own parade? Who wants to take that one on?
Yeah, that's great, Adrian. It's Eric here. So, yeah. Let's talk about Rutherford. So let me put it in context for a lot of your listeners that may not be as familiar with Rutherford, New Jersey. So Rutherford's known as the Borough of Trees, and it's located about 10 miles west of Manhattan in Bergen County, New Jersey. The town has approximately a population of 18,000 residents. And the reason I'm telling you this is having spoken with local council, the estimates of residents with Irish ancestry is in the range of 20% across the borough. So as you can tell, we have a very strong presence of Irish and Irish Americans.
Yeah.
We have, from directly from Ireland, about 300 families, but as I mentioned, 20% of the borough claim Irish ancestry. Well, I do want to make one point very clear. You know, you do not need to be directly from Ireland or an Irish American to be a member we've got three main categories of membership, and they are Irish, Irish-American, and Friends of Ireland. So we welcome anyone and everyone who's over the age of 21 and has a genuine interest in the culture of Ireland, and we welcome them to reach out to us online at www.rutherfordirish.com, and they can find out more information about us, our plans, and of course complete an application form. And in regards to your question about demographics, yes, we are a very family-oriented organization, town, and that's the direction we're taking this. We have lots of plans for our association to create scholarships back to the community, working with special needs groups. And we'll get into our parade in more detail, but we have a very large participation rate. We've up to 65 groups in our inaugural parade, and they range from the young to the elderly. So, yes, we are a very family-oriented organization, and we're looking forward to a very successful day. And I do want to mention, I do have here with me also Patrick O'Neill, founder and parade chairman, as well as Joe Kelly, head of membership.
Welcome Patrick O'Neill, and I just want to founder and chair of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Patrick, just between myself and yourself, and we won't let it go beyond that one, when you were getting that organization together, did you realize that anybody tip you off, you know, that both Eric Moore, being from Balbriggan in Dublin, and Joe Kelly, your membership, that those two, kind of tough to, you know, to get those two to sit down and have to deal with them. Anybody tell you about it?
Oh, I've known both of these gentlemen for years. We're best of friends, so I knew I had the right guys in mind when we first started this organization.
Yeah, it is without a doubt at again as you know, you're a member of and a distinguished member of Essex County Police and Fire Emerald Society, Pipes and Drums. That's going on now for, 15, 16 years? And nothing new to you to participate and indeed to lead some, you know, countless parades throughout the years. And one, I think the decision to hold your parade early is probably something that's a good idea, because there are a great number of local parades throughout New Jersey in particular. I think you might hold a record for that one.
Yeah, I did want it early so as to not really hamper any other St. Patrick's Day parades throughout the region. So, I mean, the only other parade that we really deal with here in New Jersey is Belmore that day, and I made it a point not to try to take any bands from that organization down there, which is a festival parade as well.
Now, your Grand Marshal, and I do have to ask you this because I am just wondering, whether your Grand Marshal Tom Flynn was the same prolific figure that when I came here, Tom was involved in just about everything, that the Gaelic Athletic Association, you name it. But he also, and an entrepreneur and working in trucking and leasing business and what. Did Tom Flynn have an Irish radio program at one point?
I can come in there, Mr. Fanny.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly here.
Mr.
Tom Flynn arrived in the States along with his brother, John, in early 1954. They set up with, among other Irish, from all the 32 counties, the first New Jersey hurling team.
The hurling team,
Within saying that, Tom also had his own show band. the Tom Flynn Show Band, and it did it for the 50s, 60s, 70s, and went up through the 80s.
Oh, sure. And Tom, yeah.
And he was involved with the, he was the main representative for New Jersey through Gaelic Park, you know?
Absolutely. Extremely well known. Any harm to ask you, how old is Tom now?
Tom will be 86 coming up next month.
Not
and along with Tom, our deputy Grand Marshal, Mr. Tony Bruton from Kilbride, Irish Kilbride, outside Ashbourne in County Meath. He's been here since the 1960s, served for the United States of America, and brought up a family here in Rutherford. In doing so, Tom, along with Tony, were members of the North Bergen Irish Association.
Absolutely. Well renowned, indeed, and have been.
Eric here. Just one more point I wanted to make about our honorees. So when we formed the organization and we put our board of trustees in place, obviously one of the biggest decisions was, you know, who to honor. So we did think it through, and given we were a brand new organization, we didn't want to reach back and be connected to all of those that preceded us and to the history that came before us. So as you know, and lots of your listeners would know, honorees can be very successful people in their respective areas, but we wanted to really honor those that came before. So we had a search, if you will, for almost the oldest Irish or Irish American in town. So once the word went out, these men came forward, and we're very proud to honor them. We also are honoring our Police Officer of the Year. For our inaugural year is Mr. Michael Keane. Our Firefighter of the Year, we're honoring, is Mr. Thomas Twist Jr. And we also are recognizing two members of the year in our inaugural year, and that is Deborah O'Neill and Mr. Joseph Kelly for their great work they've done for fundraising and for membership to date. So we've got a very good list of men and women that we're honoring in our inaugural year. We couldn't be more happy with our dignitaries.
Now, I do want to ask you, though, about, again, getting off the ground, considering that a lot of Irish Americans, they tend to, you know, join an organization, an Irish American organization, and then that's it. They don't pretty much hop from one to the other. How did you get from ground zero to a membership of 250 plus members? Were these, or were most of them members of other Irish American organizations?
Yeah. So that's a great question, Adrian. So as you mentioned, you know, the Rutherford Irish was officially created only a few short months ago, on the 4th of July, actually, the 4th of July, 2016. And I truly believe it's our purpose is what stood out to people and made them become registered members of the group. So the purpose of the Rutherford Irish is to become the newest organization, a member of Irish America. And our objective is to promote, strengthen, and celebrate the cultural ties between our two great nations. So to do that, we simply plan to be the finest representation of our hometown in New Jersey and all of Ireland. But there, as you mentioned, there are a lot of fundamentals. You know, the first year of inception is a very important year for any group, and the Rutherford Irish is no different. So since July 17, we've become an incorporated non-profit voluntary organization. We created a board of trustees. We meet monthly as an executive committee, and we hold general member meetings on a quarterly basis. We've already participated in two of the Borough of Rutherford festivals, and we currently have upwards of 320 registered members and that's growing. We've also held a number of successful fundraisers to date, including our first annual Grand Marshal Gala back in January, which was a sold-out event. We had up to 375 guests in attendance.
I know,
night.
And you could have a lot more if in fact there was room.
Yeah,
for it.
And I think Adrian, people are excited. You know, we're on the eve of history to host the first ever official St. Patrick's Day parade in Rutherford's 137-year-old history.
Wow.
And that will be held on Sunday, March 4th at 1 p.m. So I think there's just there's a great sense of excitement, pride, and, you know, we've put in a structure, an organization to enable that. And, you know, people are coming out in droves.
You know,
we're expecting upwards of 5,000 people to be here in Rutherford on Sunday, March 4th, for its first ever parade.
Well, good luck to you on that one. And also, you know, it's amazing. I'm not sure that this is as prominent with other ethnic groups, but it does seem like the association from mainstream media anyway, and St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Day parades, they love it when there's a bit of a ruckus or something else like that, because it helps perpetuate, you know, the notion that, you know, the Irish are great. You'd find them on St. Patrick's Day, and they're very jovial, and, you know, they're known for their, you know, consumption of alcohol and all the rest of it. That would hardly be an issue in Rutherford. Please tell us about Rutherford. Is a dry town. What?
Correct. So Rutherford is a dry town, meaning no bars in the town. So it's a very, you know, it's a fact. Rutherford's more known for restaurants and families than bars. We can leave that to other townships and boroughs to take care of that. But
now,
not in Rutherford.
How was that? What's the history of that? When you know what?
I can come in there, Adrian. The history.
Please.
Joe Kelly here. The history of that is way back over 137. Well, early days of Rutherford.
Yeah.
There was a family called the Van Winkles and the Van Dykes, and basically they owned a lot of property in town. And the fields on which consists of where the kids would play, the sports fields, etc., baseball fields, down at the lower end of Rutherford, was owned by these families. And they dedicated it to the borough, to the town, on one circumstance, that there would never be bars in the town.
Right.
And that law is still in place today.
But how does that affect, like, it's a town of you know, great restaurants, great variety of restaurants, whatever. So you have to have your club soda with your dinner?
You can actually, you can bring your own wine or beer or soda.
Oh, okay.
But getting back, the parade itself is going to be very, very family oriented.
Yes.
When setting up the first few committee meetings, I brought it to the attention that I found there's a gap within parades that I go to that I don't see a lot of, and that is within special needs kids.
Yes.
And they seem to be left out. Here in Rutherford, one of our trustees, Mr. Pat Bonner, set up, along with a couple of friends, set up a special needs soccer group called Top Dogs. And they will be marching in our parade. And it was very kind of the Red Bull soccer team. They're going to bring people along that do tricks and alongside them. So we're family orientated with regards to the parade.
And I think it's also notable that from the get-go, this was not just an organization to get ready for, you know, to prepare for a parade in Rutherford, but also the philanthropic, you know, rule number one was inserted early, so that in fact this organization will, you know, will be very prominent after St. Patrick's Day. And to get that off the ground makes us wonder if there are other towns such as Rutherford who perhaps might do well in offsetting, you know, the cliche and the rumor that, well, you know, there are no more Irish immigrants coming in and that Irish America will fade into the melting pot of America and everything will be, you know, nothing again but doom and gloom. And if you can see that you have 250 plus members saying, well, that doesn't represent us, that's not what we're about, and to take that philanthropic approach up front is great, because it does give Irish, you know, a new, fresh Irish American organization, many of whom have, not just coming to the fore now, who have spent their lives in many other, you know, community groups, but to have them say, this is our goal. So, no, it won't be over on the 18th of March. We're here to stay, and we're going to do something very specific about it.
That's absolutely correct, Adrian. Yeah, so we're more than a one-day event. We're an ongoing group, and we plan to flourish for generations.
Yeah.
And we partnered a lot in setting up with fellow organizations, and none more than our neighbors in New Jersey of the Nutley Irish. They've been a great partner in supporting us, and the list is endless. You know, the United Irish Counties have been very supportive of what we do. The Irish Consulate are very important in what we do, and we're very happy and delighted to announce that the Irish Consulate will be in attendance for the inaugural Rutherford Irish Parade.
I think
that's we're more than a parade, Adrian.
Now,
we are planning the scholarship fund and give back to the community.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Patrick O'Neill, about your growing up. You didn't actually grow up in Rutherford. You grew up in Kearney, New Jersey, which obviously a great community, but a multicultural community. What role did the Irish play, say, in areas like Kearney?
Well, in Kearney, obviously it was predominantly an Irish and Scottish town.
Growing.
It was just a fantastic community. Everybody, every parent that I knew was pretty much either from Ireland or Scotland. So it really was a wonderful place to grow up. So
the Scots-Irish, you know, I'm sorry for cutting in, but, you know, the Scots-Irish hasn't been that prominent. We know we know when the census comes around, you know, that there are these Scots-Irish are there, and then we say, where are they? You know, but the reason I mentioned Kearney in the first place is that might have been, you know, an Irish Scots American hub, so did many of those move on to different Jersey towns? Is Kearney still an area where you have a lot of families of different generations, you know, that have stayed?
Yeah, there's still a lot of families in Kearney, but again, a lot of them moved to places like Rutherford. We have a lot of them here now. So obviously, you know, demographics change.
Absolutely. But, yeah. All right.
Kearney was just a great place to grow up, and they always had an annual St. Patrick's Day parade, which I truly loved forever. But I haven't, since I've been with the Essex County Police and Firearms Society Pipe Band, I haven't been able to attend one of those parades in about 17 years.
Yeah. I know that coming back to Eric. You're from Balbriggan in County Dublin. I sped past the sign for Balbriggan on the way back yesterday evening. Nobody cared because everybody else was doing it anyway. But you've been involved in, you know, in concern you know, the third world country charity, the Irish founded concern organization, and have made a big impact there. And in fact, your story was very prominently featured in the Irish Times just in January. How did it chicken and the egg here? Obviously, Rutherford and the your association with Rutherford takes a lot of your time. How did you become involved with Concern Worldwide?
Yeah, great question, Adrian. So it's really through my network in the city. So I work in finance, and I was involved in many organizations, mm-hmm. one being the Irish Network of New York City.
Yeah.
And through that, made great friends, acquaintances, and was invited by Concern Worldwide to help them with their annual gala dinner. So what we do there is we host a black tie event similar to what we do with the Rutherford Irish, a gala event, very classy, very very well put together. And then we hold it in every winter.
Yeah.
And we just had the biggest gala dinner to date. We had the most successful fundraising evening for Concern back in December. So I believe, yeah, similar to what Pat O'Neill did, you know, you look across your friends, your family, your network, and
right.
you see who can help, who has experience, and that's what's happening here. We've got a great group, we've got a great board, vast experience in various different groups, and we're just putting all our time and energy into a positive way, and that's what we're going to do with the Rutherford Irish also.
I think also that it has been almost the mantra of your organization, the Rutherford Irish American Association, to actually make sure that there is something that you have a structure to hand on to children, to grandchildren. And that's not just an idle worry with the horrific negative emphasis on immigration and legal immigration or whatever. I think that as an organization, particularly yours, who said, no, we can't have that. I mean, we can't ignore that Rutherford were here, we were all Irish American, and let our kids and grandchildren figure it out for themselves. How much of that can be affiliated and associated with your rapid growth?
I can come in there, Adrian. Another point there. Joe Kelly here. Getting back to, say, kitten families and special needs groups. Well, what we've done and we're in the process of doing is we are going to come in relationship with Down Syndrome Ireland and the local Down Syndrome groups here. So there's a common relationship straight away. We're also in the process of setting up and combining with St. Joseph's GAA club out here. We're also in a point here where we are going in the process of twinning a town with Rutherford.
Right.
So we can have common ties with Ireland, and the folks here will have a common relationship.
It's a great idea, and it is it's a marvelous idea, and I think you won't have any problem twinning, with some town. Listen, if that shows up that this twinning is, Dublin or Balbriggan, I'll be the first to go out there and pick it and say, excuse me, all right, what's going on here?
That's one way we see a tangible difference.
Yeah.
So to your question, you know, our group is about inclusion. I said at the start of the program, our membership are Irish American, and
right.
friends of Ireland. So this is open to all, and
I
all
know.
Are welcome.
And isn't that what it's all about? The old tongue-in-cheek, dried out thing is, you know, our story was if you put three Irishmen in a room, first order of business is for two of them to oust the third person. First of all, that, you know, that and the image of the leprechaun and, the, you know, all the other negative stuff, time for that to go away. But to have an open organization, one that welcomes, you know, new members, one who, an association whose goal is not to just have a parade, though this is going to be the historic, but an organization that says, listen, we've got to help education, we've got to help with some scholarships, we've got to pay a particular attention, you know, to special needs groups and in particular children. That gives it teeth. We are delighted, and I know through Anya Sheridan and myself, your story is not is something that at a time that everybody says, well, the Irish are going to just disappear and they'll be, you know, they'll melt into mainstream America, that's not true. And what you're doing and what you have done in the course of the last few months is to set a tremendous example for a lot of other communities that, you know, will take a look at your success about what can be done in a relatively short time, and we congratulate you.
Thank you, Adrian. And we want to thank you and the show for having us on today. And it'd be remiss of me not to say a quick thank you to all of our members.
Absolutely.
Each and every business and individual that has supported us.
Yeah.
To our board of the Rutherford Irish, and to our mayor's office and our local council members.
Yes.
Because this is a very successful inaugural year, and we're very excited on this next chapter for our community.
Now, again, it's the Rutherford Irish American Association, Rutherford's inaugural St. Patrick's Day Parade. It will begin at 1 o'clock on March 4th, Park Avenue from Woodland to Ames. There's a post parade party. Everybody's welcome, and indeed a membership you know, in full swing. So let me finish by giving the website, and again, you do not have to be from Rutherford, you do not have to be from Balbriggan, you don't have to grow up in Kearney. Here's an organization that says come in not just to you know, to show our green on for the St. Patrick's Day season, but we're here, we're going to make an impact, and we're going to keep the tradition alive. Again, God bless you. I think it's a great idea, and we're delighted to bring your story to our listeners. The website, www.rutherfordirish.com. Rutherford, RUTHERFORD, Irish.com. And I want to thank our guests, and to also, you know, wish luck to a great array of honorees, many of them indeed being part of your inaugural. Patrick O'Neill, Eric Moore, Joe Riley, or Joe Kelly, and all of you. Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye. Okay, and friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. A very a group. What a great change that will be at a time when, you know, many are saying, oh, well, you know, the older community now, they're retiring, they're dying off, and there'll be very little interest in, you know, doing or trying to revive you know, an active Irish-American community, and God knows where it'll be, you know, 20 years from now, and all of the, you know, the negativity that we've had. Fair play to the Rutherford Irish-American Association. And, like I say, we would welcome an opportunity if there are other organizations like Rutherford that are getting off the ground or would want to. I would say the best thing to do would be to get on to Rutherford and to get, you know, give them, I'm sure that, again, what they are doing is something that will be beneficial to other organizations that might take the bull by the horns exactly like, you know, the Rutherford Irish American Irish Association, Irish American Association. Again, kudos to all involved. All right, maybe you should bring in a little bagpipes for...